Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back with another edition of No Bets Barred. This week, we are here to preview UFC Apex 58, the Battle of the Rafaels. It is Rafael Fiziev going up against Rafael Dos Anjos. But before we do that, Jed, what is going on, man? How was the holiday weekend? How was UFC 276? How are we feeling?
Holiday weekend was good, man. I'm not feeling the best just because... You know, you get the big event hangover, and I had a particularly long weekend because I was at PFL on Friday, cage side working that event. Kayla Harrison, the most dominant fighter in the sport, doing the damn thing again, and so I had a really late night Friday, and then obviously Saturday is the show, you know, so very late night both nights this weekend, and then you're just right into the fourth. No break, all gas. So it is I am recuperating. My bank account is recuperating because it wasn't the best. You know, I learned an important lesson though, Connor. I learned a very important lesson
please,
this weekend.
Please share.
Every single one of the bets that I made that I wouldn't have made. That I was just like, I need to get action down on this Donald Cerrone Jim Miller fight. I'll go to the dog. I'll just fire on the dog. Nope. Green. Nope. Like all of them. Just Rose Clark. Nope. Just bricked on all of them. Had I just bet the fights that I felt good and like that I felt I had a good read on, still would have had some misses. You know, I think I had an Izzy by KO prop that wouldn't have hit that I would have felt good on, but. I would have finished up a little money instead of just trying to have fun at the Super Bowl. And that's how they get you. That's how the books get you. You try to have too much fun and you throw away your reason. And so now we're chasing it on, let's be honest, not the world's greatest card this weekend.
No, not the world's greatest card at all. This is the card where you want to avoid the thing we did last week of just like, let's get action down on every single fight.
Oh heavens no. Do not bet on every fight on this card unless you know something, but I sure don't. I am throwing darts in the dark right now. I got no clue what's happening this weekend.
I got a couple darts too. Yeah, that's another thing. Not only is like we get the hangover from UFC 276, massive card, had like 15 bets in play, but we go to this card, which isn't the best card. There's some interesting fights on it. But a lot of these fights are like 50-50 coin flip fights. And I think that's reflected in the odds. Now that David Onama is off the card, I think Saeed Nurmagomedov is the biggest favorite. And he's at like minus 255. Like, I feel like there's no real sure things on this card. I think it's just a really tough card to break down from a betting standpoint. We're heading back to the Apex, which is always great from a fan perspective. It's a tough card this week. I'll admit that. It's a tough card this week.
It is, and I think that's going to be reflected in our bets. We were talking about before we hit air. I don't have a lot this week, so I think this is going to be one of our shorter episodes because I'll be honest, I frankly don't have a lot to say about most of these fights. I think, you know, we could talk, we could go into them, but I doubt anyone is that riveted to hear an expose on Jamie Pickett versus Dennis, dude whose name I can't say. It's just,
I think we lost that fight. I think it's off.
Oh, is that fight gone too?
Yeah. We're down to 11 fights now.
Well, that is helpful. I 10 is for my money, 10 is always a sweet spot of fights. I think that is the perfect number to not have the card take too long, spend too much time doing this. But 11 will work. But my point stands. We just, Eamon Zahabi, Ricky Tercios, like, we don't need to spend 20 minutes talking about that fight.
Yes.
There's facts. Just not, for as much as there are some relevant fights and, like you said, some pretty good, well-made, competitive fights, this is not a card that is going to shock the world. So we don't need to spend an infinite amount of time on it. And because I have so few bets and you have so few bets, I think we can keep this pithy, baby.
Let's do it. Let's dive right into it. Let's get into UFC Apex 58.
Battle of the Rafaels.
Who will come the champion, one Rafael, to rule them all? That is where we'll begin in the main event. It is a lightweight bout. Rafael Dos Anjos coming in as the underdog at plus 170, going against Rafael Fiziev, the favorite at minus 200. Fight goes the distance is minus 150. Fight does not go the distance is plus 110. Do you have a side in this one?
I do have a side. Do you have a side?
I don't have a side. I'm just playing a prop and a parlay, but I'm curious to hear your side.
So I'm curious to hear your prop and your parlay, but I will give you my rundown. First of all, I want to say the single most important thing about this fight, and it is this fight is everything that's wrong with the UFC, because this is a good fight. This is a great fight. This is a fight that is relevant. This is a fight that matters. This is a fight that was organically created by Rafael Fiziev, who called out Dos Anjos because they have the same name, the same spelling of the same first name. And Fiziev said, hey, let's fight for the name. Like, see who the best Rafael is. And that is a very stupid but brilliant thing to do. And if the UFC was a promotion worth their salt, there would be something on the line here. They would have codified this idea into something stupid, like a crown or the Golden Rafael name tag. They could have done anything that is cool and promotionally fun and interesting. And, like, straight up, I would care so much more about this, and so would random casual people, if they just had fun and did stupid stuff like that, where it is on a platter for them to do it. And instead, this is a fight that matters, and I will be honest, I don't care at all about, because I still got the hangover from 276 International Fight Week, and we've got 277, honestly, not that far away. And so this is a card that's going to get lost in the shuffle, and they could have made it stand out in a very relevant lightweight matchup, but they're friggin' losers, man, and it bothers the hell out of me.
Okay, one, I've immediately fallen in love with the golden name tag. Maybe like a name tag that almost looks like a belt, but it says Rafael on it.
Yeah.
And that's what you win, and that's what you get to wear from now on. And no one. And, like, say Rafael Fiziev is the one that wins, you can no longer refer to Rafael Dos Anjos as Rafael. You have to just call him RDA.
Yeah, RDA in any UFC or Dos Anjos, like, you, or just Dos Anjos. Like, you just can't use, like, they should do stuff like that.
It's literally wiped from our memory. I'm with you. Two, yes, another thing about this card is me not caring is that I'm going to the event next week in Long Island. Then we have UFC London after that. Then we have UFC 277 the week after that. Like, it's just like, it feels like this would have been a good spot to take a week off for the UFC.
I mean, for sure. Honestly, they probably realistically should always take a week off after pay-per-views, but especially after huge ones. That's just not going to fit their timeline and the events they have to do. I recognize that.
Yeah.
But for me, it is always just a question of, do you guys even have fun, like, doing your jobs, UFC? Because the golden name tag idea, I literally thought of that 4 seconds ago. Like, while I was talking, I was just like, ooh, that's kind of stupid and interesting. And it legitimately would be stupid and really interesting. And, like, they just don't do, there's nothing outside of the same boxes they work in. And so that's why this card, no one's going to watch this card. This card's going to be completely forgotten. It's going to have terrible viewership. And all of these fights are decent. Like, they're all at least very competitive fights, and you could pull people in. There are ways to make people care, and they're just not doing it. But it's enough of my soapbox. Let's talk about the fight, because I don't want us to take 3 hours on a fight card that we don't have a lot of action on. For me, I am backing Rafael Dos Anjos to retain the title of Best Rafael. I am backing him for a couple of reasons. The primary one is the price. I think at plus 170, that price is good enough for me to feel there is value there. And the second one is, don't get me wrong, I love Fazeev as a prospect. I think he is not, you know, he's not my top tier kind of lightweight prospect. Some of the other guys, I mean, Armand Sarukian, Matush Gamrot, like, those dudes are cream of the crop, A plus, number one. I think both of them would wreck Fazeev. But I think this dude is still a guy who is probably going to have a run here at the top of the division, top 15-ish guy. But RDA is not done. And I would say he's probably not at his best right now. He's 38 years old, I think, something like that. But this man looked really good against Paul Felder. Granted, there was a lot at play there in his return to lightweight. But his struggles have always been, or at least particularly recently, have been with dudes who are just being undersized as a welterweight and getting outgrappled. Bunch of dudes up there just took him the hell down, and he couldn't really do anything about it. And that is not a problem at play here with Fazeev. I think he's going to be the bigger man. I think RDA's pressure style will prove particularly effective against Fazeev. Just, you know, working those body kicks into him, marching him down, hitting him with volume, and being able to shoot those takedowns. I think he's going to have success backing Fazeev up, getting Fazeev to the ground. He's a very underrated top game control wrestler, positional grappler. And I will straight up pick him to win this fight, based on kind of, I think he's still got enough juice in the tank. I think this is a favorable style matchup for him. And I think that championship experience and the way he fights is really conducive to fighting guys who are smaller than him in the smaller apex cage. And so I would take him straight up. And so certainly when I'm getting what I think is pretty good value at plus 170 is what DraftKings has him at right now, I'm taking the shot on the underdog. Give me RDA. You could also sell me on an RDA by decision. My main problem there is just that we haven't, it's five rounds, and so that makes it feel more, there's a lot more opportunity, and we haven't seen Fazeev go get dragged into deep waters. I could see RDA taking him down early, wearing him out, and getting a later stoppage. So I'm just taking the underdog RDA straight, plus 170.
I considered the RDA by decision prop. I've been kind of waffling with this fight, and I think it's going to be a razor-thin fight, and I do actually think it goes to a decision, like you were saying, which the recent history should just suggest that I take the dog on it. And I haven't pulled the trigger yet. I've come very close on taking RDA, but the fact that you're on him.
Oh, well, let's do it, baby. Come on. Let's.
I'm thinking about hopping on with you. Let's do a little wolf pack. Let's do a little bulldog bet here on the main event. Let's ride with RDA. Let's keep the dream
let's
alive.
Let's go.
I'm going to do it.
Oh. All right.
RDA.
This card got so much more interesting right there. I love it.
Oh, we're going to have some fun with it now. My parlay piece, what I did, was just the over 2.5 at minus 300.
Oh, wow. So did I.
Oh, really?
I looked at that. That is, that just feels way too good. Like, I expected over 2.5 to be a higher number, because the over-under, like, the regular is 4.5. So I figured 2.5 would be a much higher jack. It's not. So it's, I have that parlayed with one other thing on the card.
Yeah, it just feels like a fight that is going to go long. The durability of RDA, I mean, 8 straight fights have gone over 2.5, 5 of which were 25-minute decisions. You know, Fazeev, it's a little shakier there. Like, half of his UFC fights have gone under the 2.5, but he just hasn't fought a guy like RDA yet. I just don't see him getting an early stoppage in this one. I don't know if I see him getting a stoppage at all, maybe in the later rounds, but I think he goes to decision, but for this parlay's sake, I'm going to play it safe, you know, ride the 2.5 with you there. So both of us are going to be on the underdog in RDA in the main event, and both of us have the over 2.5 parlayed at minus 300.
I love it. That's a very strong start to the night. Just total agreement in the main event.
Fantastic. Hopefully it works out for us. Let's keep it rolling with the co-main The co-main event of the evening. A middleweight bout. It is Cal Baralho going up against Armin Petrosian. Baralho -215. Petrosian coming back at +185. I actually can't believe how much the line has moved on this. I took Cal last week.
What did he open at?
He opened at like -180. He dropped down to -140. He sat there for like a week. I grabbed him at -140, and he's just been ballooning up since. I can't decide if I would take him at this number now. I mean, I feel pretty confident in him. I think he's the real deal. I think he looked great. I think he's well rounded. I think his ground game is going to come in very good use in this fight. Petrosian doesn't have that much of a ground game. I think the striking probably pretty even on the feet. The karate style of Baralho is sort of tough to deal with. He can knock people out. He can submit people. He can go to decisions. I like him to win this fight. That's pretty much how I feel about it. I think he's going to win the fight, so that's why I played him.
Fair enough. I also think he's going to win this fight. I was debating taking him at the 215 price and putting him in the parlay I have going. But I decided ultimately that I'd rather keep that parlay at two legs because it pays out close to even money, so I don't need any extra. And instead, I took my one prop of this fight card. I took Braulio inside the distance at +130. For all the reasons you said, I think he can score takedowns. I was trying to debate if I wanted to take a shot at submission versus TKO, but Braulio has actually had a history of getting finishes from mount and from back mount with punches and not finding the sub. He has subbed people before, but not his go-to. So just feel a lot less confident knowing which way he's going to finish it. But I do think he's going to be able to take Petrosian down, and there's a world of difference between them down there. So I took Braulio inside the distance at +130. And that's for most of the same reasons that you like him to win the fight.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to be able to take him down in 9 minutes of UFC work. In 19 minutes of UFC work, Petrosian has been taken down 5 times. So I think
Braulio has taken, I'm not looking at the numbers, but he has a high rate of success. I remember when I was looking into it, he finishes 80%. Takedowns and does it and shoots them fairly regularly. So I think. You know, you take Petrosian down, put him on his back, and then just go to work.
I agree, man. Hopefully it gets it done for us. Co-main event right now. We're riding lockstep. Let's keep it going. Next up, a bantamweight bout. We have Saeed Nurmagomedov coming in at -255 against Douglas Silva de Andrade at +215. Under is set at 2.5. Under is -130. Over 2.5 is even money. When I first looked at this fight, I thought I might be taking an underdog shot on Douglas Silva de Andrade. But then I looked into it more, and I decided not to take a shot on it. And I'm actually parlaying up the over 2.5 in the main event with Saeed Nurmagomedov. Parlay pays out at -118 or whatever. Andrade, he's getting old, but I mean, he's still in unbelievable shape. He has huge knockout power. He has the ability to submit people. But just going back and watching that Morozov fight from, I think it was 271, I mean, Morozov looked fantastic until he got rocked by De Andrade.
He was absolutely killing DSA.
Yeah, Morozov looked fantastic. I think Saeed, I know it's a Nurmagomedov. If you're new to this, he's not the wrestling type. He is not the lay on you, grind you out. He is sick on the feet. I mean, he is just nasty on the feet. I think he's going to be able to avoid that power shot, and I think he's going to find a lot of the same successes that Morozov found in that fight. But I think he'll either be able to get DSA out of there or win by decision.
Yeah, we had relatively similar reads on this as well. So when I looked at it, initial reaction was, Douglas Silva de Andrade he's the kind of guy who is a sneaky underdog because he has such power. He's such a good athletic and well-rounded fighter in a lot of ways. He can turn fights around like the Morozov fight very, very quickly. But I I got the same conclusion as you. He's just not as good on the feet as Saeed. And I don't have a bet here though because of the other parts of DSA. Yeah, I think Saeed should beat him, but I thought Morozov was going to handle him, and I felt great about that right up until the moment things turned quickly. I'm just a little wary of the power, the explosion, the athleticism, the kind of, I won't say durability because he's not the most durable fighter, but as long as he is in there, he is a threat, and that just makes me think. I'm like I said at the start of this, a little bit of a hangover from 271 or 276, sorry, and I'm gonna take it a lot more cautious this week. So no bet on this one for me, but I have the same read.
That's smart. I'm probably gonna be sweating it out because as long as DSA is in there, he is lethal.
Always a threat.
All right, well, let's keep it rolling then. On the main card, next up, a heavyweight bout. The most anticipated heavyweight fight since Badeau Parisian.
I can't believe this fucking fight is happening. I can't believe it's happening in general. I extremely cannot believe it's happening on the main card. And when I was talking with somebody about this yesterday when I realized that this fight was happening, and it didn't strike me until that very moment. You know why UFC 276 was awesome? Like, the whole fight card had no light heavyweights or heavyweights on it, and it damn sure didn't have Chase Sherman versus friggin' Jared Vanderaa. Like, what a garbo.
I don't understand, though, like, the infatuation with having heavyweights on the main card. Like, it just feels like if there's a heavyweight fight, they have to put it on the main card.
I don't get it, man. I don't understand it. I was going to preface this and say I don't mean this disrespectfully. I frankly don't care. I don't understand why either of these men have jobs in the UFC right now. They are collectively 0-7 over their last seven fights. Like, Shea Sherman's on a 4-fight losing streak. Vanderaa's on a 3-fight losing streak. Neither of these dudes are going to be serious title contenders or probably even serious top 15 threats.
I was going
to
say that
to
I don't
make
think,
it to the rankings.
Yeah, they can't. They're not going to make it to the ranking. I mean, they're a combined 4-13 in their UFC careers.
I mean, I never want to say never just because heavyweight is heavyweight and Vanderaa's at least like only 30. But no, like, yeah, these dudes, they're just not it. And that's okay. And if you want to keep them employed for whatever reason, I guess. But don't put them on the main card of anything. Like, just that, this is the curtain jerker. Like, that, just do that. I don't know what the hell's going on here. I do have a side because I'm a freaking moron, though. What about you?
Yeah, you got a side. I don't have a side. I have a prop. I have a fun prop. It kind of just spoke to me. I don't know why. It's sort of like that the Chris Curtis goes to decision thing. This one just kind of stuck out to me. It's Jared Vanderaa by submission at plus 550. So the Olenek fight, you know, it's been circling Twitter this week of Olenek right after the fight teaching him the neck crank and everything like that.
I recall.
And I was like, what was that fight like? And I go back and I watch it. And I mean, Vanderaa had his back for like a decent amount of time, had the hooks in.
I had a bet on him.
He was going for the rear naked chokes. He threw up a triangle at one point. Like, he tried to get an arm bar as well. Like, it looked like he was pretty decent. I do some more research. I was unaware of the fact that Jared is a BJJ black belt. Yeah. I know there's levels to this. BJJ black belt. So what, he is coming in here to fight for his job against the guy in Chase Sherman, who the last two times he went out there got submitted in the first two rounds. My worry is Jared only has one takedown in his UFC career. Chase Sherman obviously is not going to be going for any takedowns. I'm hoping that he turns the fight IQ on, goes for that takedown, gets him down, and uses that just wizardry of BJJ that we saw against Alexei Olenek. But this time, he finishes the job and gets Chase Sherman out of there. Jared Vanderaa by submission plus 550.
That's very fun. I respect it. I won't be joining you, but I love the idea. I love the enthusiasm.
It's a quarter unit, so I feel all right with it.
Yeah, yeah. I took Chase Sherman. I don't feel good about it, and I almost regretted it the moment I clicked submit. But
this bet is in. This bet's in
because I couldn't walk it back. I was just like, look, both of these men are bad. I maintain that firmly. I bet Jared Vander against Alexi Olenek for specifically because I was like, Alexi Olenek is 107 and can't get punched in the face anymore. And Jared Vander is at least a BJJ black belt and probably won't get like Olenek jitsued if it goes to the floor. And then he can stand up and just chuck ham hocks at his head. And he did it until he stopped doing it and was dead. And it was the whole time he was down there playing with him, it was like, you're the stupidest man alive. You're the stupidest man alive. You're the stupidest man alive. Just stand up.
At one point, it looked
just
like you had the RNC. It looked like you had the choke in for a
second. It was all so dumb. It was all so dumb. And so I want you to know that while everything you said was fun, it all hinged on that one very important statement. I hope that the fight IQ is going to come into play. He didn't have the fight IQ to not grapple with Alexio freaking Linick. Yeah. I don't trust this man's fight IQ at all. Chase Sherman, I straight up just think is a better fighter. I'm not saying he's a good fighter and he has very clear deficiencies, but he at least is going about MMA in the right way. He's just not good. But like what he's trying to accomplish, he has a very high work rate. He's relatively light on his feet. He doesn't have a bunch of KO power, but he's trying to be well-conditioned and kind of wear fighters down over time. He throws leg kicks really nicely, which you don't see a ton of that in the heavyweight division. Like I like what he's trying to do, even if he's not very good at it. And so getting him at plus 155 is the number. And I just said, screw it. It will in no way shock me if he trips, falls over, and Vander Aa is able to, you know, jump on top and submit him. But I think he is more fleet of foot. Got faster hands, certainly throws with higher volume. I think he can just kind of pepper, and this is bad heavyweight. So it's a 5-minute fight. It says 15, but Vander Aa has 5 minutes to actually like tackle him and score takedowns. Because after that, he's not going to have the juice to get him to the floor. They're just going to be a hugging contest against the fence, such that it is. So I'm taking Sherman. I don't feel great, and I certainly don't suggest anyone tail me on this one. Because betting on bad heavyweight is a bad idea.
Yeah,
it's what I've done.
I mean, it's a bad idea. I took a guy that has no submissions since 2017 to win by submission at only plus 550.
I would say, and it's at only plus 550. Yeah. That's the only problem with it, because the rest of your logic is sound.
Yeah, I mean, this should be like a plus $1,200 bet, but an angel's whispered in my ear on this one, and I'm hoping that I can cash this quarter unit and make away swiftly. Another thing, we talked about not wanting to lay chalk on Ian Garry and Alex Pajeda. I do not want to lay chalk on Jared Vander.
Never. Never do that. So, yeah.
Minus 180.
Yeah. Minus 180 is such a stupidly high number, too. It's like, how? You guys know you've watched this man fight before,
he's
right?
He's 1-4. Like, he's 1-4 in the UFC.
It is.
And he's a minus 180.
It really... And this is a main card fight. I mean, I don't know. Beating Justin Taffa is not that good for me. But no. What do I know, dude? What do I know?
No it is not. All right. So will that be able to eclipse Parisian Badeau for Fight of the Year contender? We will find out Saturday around.
I think that fight's going to be worse than Parisian Badeau by a considerable margin.
We're going to have fun. I'm sad about that. All I know. We're going to have fun. When that
actually,
fight comes
I realized I didn't even look at this. What are the props for Sherman by decision? And what's the over under on this fight? I might take the over.
Plus 115 for over 2.5.
I'm probably honestly going to throw something down on over 2.5. Let me think about it because maybe I shouldn't. But
Sherman wins by decision plus 500.
Sherman by decision at plus 500. Very much probably going to throw a quarter unit. You know what? I'll just go ahead and say it. I'll throw just a little baby bet on Sherman by decision instead of the over here, just because plus 500 is a big number. Sure, why not?
Let's do it.
Why not?
I'm not doing it.
I'm going to have fun. No, you've got by submission.
I'm riding the Darce Knight, Jared Vander Aa.
darts
to get this one done.
Well, I honestly, I hope you're right, and maybe I'll learn a lesson to stop betting on freaking heavyweights. Awful.
I mean, if he locks up a choke, dude, you're gonna see me hysterically laughing, like. And, like, you can tell Sherman's about to tap. And his face starts getting red, and it's like, oh, Sherman might tap here. And then you see his hand come up, and you see him tap. Like, I will be dying laughing.
As you should. I hope that wins for you. I am more supportive of your bet in this instance than I am in mine.
Thank you.
That's how stupid I think my bet is.
I appreciate you backing me. So you're not only going with Chase Sherman Moneyline, we're also getting some Chase Sherman by decision. Saturday is going to be a good one.
Honestly, let's keep it rolling. If I was smarter, I probably just would have bet Chase Sherman by decision, but I already have the money line bet in. So now I've just taken a little bit of extra on it.
I'll let you in on a crazy secret. For a half second, I considered parlaying Jared Vandera up for like a half second. I was like, maybe I should put him in a parlay.
That would have been awesome.
And then I was like, what am I doing with my life?
Maybe I should not do that. That's an awful choice.
All right, we've spent plenty of time on this fight. Let's keep it moving. Next up, we've got a lightweight bout. It is Michael Johnson going up against Jamie Mullarkey. Jamie Mullarkey minus 240. Michael Johnson plus 200. Over-under is set at 2.5. Under is minus 150. Over is plus 110. I am actually playing that under, the minus 150. I just think both these guys have that finishing ability. They both can get finished. I think their styles just match up perfect in this one. Mullarkey likes to make it dirty. Michael Johnson, obviously, will get in. He is not afraid to go against you. Like, I will not be surprised if this ends up being a brawl, just swinging. Mullarkey, he's only won by decision one time in his career. Michael Johnson, 7 of his last 11 have not gone to decision. I just think their styles make for a fight that's going to be exciting as long as it lasts.
What was the line? 1.5, 2.5?
2.5. Under 2.5 at minus 150.
Under 2.5 at minus 150. Okay. I have no action here. I think Mullarkey's going to win because Michael Johnson is 7,000 years old in fight years.
Michael Johnson is like the darling dog. I've been seeing quite a few people playing him, interestingly enough.
That is very interesting. I just have to assume it's because he really did look rejuvenated, and like he looked the best he had in years against Alon Patrick.
Yes.
And so I think people want him to be back to being good, but I'm just not confident. I can't bet on him since he lost to decrepit Clay Guida, so that just broke me of Michael Johnson forever. And as much as I honestly like Jamie Mullarkey, as I'll call him a prospect, he's like mid-20s, I think. Maybe it's just that every time he's faced somebody good, he's lost. But he's, you know, Jalen Turner, who I think the world of, tuned him up. Brad Riddell, a good fight, but Brad Riddell pretty clearly won. Firas Ziyam, you know, I just don't feel great about it. So I've passed on this one entirely.
Smart man. You are a smart man. I really have nothing else to say on it. Best of luck if you're taking the dog shot on Johnson. Yeah. We will see what happens.
I mean, if you're taking the dog shot on Johnson, you just take him by KO, right? I would think that's slightly higher, but.
I would think that would be your best route. So that's the main card for this UFC Apex 58. Should be a banger. Let's keep it rolling. On to the prelims.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Few prelim bets. We can start it off with this banger, the one everyone asked for. Cynthia Calvillo going up against Nina Nunez. Right now you can get Calvillo at minus 150, Nunez at plus 130. The over-under set at 2.5. Over is minus 225. Under is plus 185. I have no action on this one. But,
yeah, this is just a me one, huh?
Rumors are circling.
Rumors are circling. They are.
Yeah, you taking what, Nina Nunez?
I am not. I am. That was the bet I had to talk myself out of.
I did the same thing. I almost played Nina Nunez.
I was very, very close to playing Nina Nunez. And then I almost went the other way and was like, actually, maybe Calvillo is the correct choice. She's younger and stuff, but she's actually not that much younger. And so I ultimately decided I don't need to be involved in this, but what I do need to be involved in, I have the over in this fight, over 2.5. Minus 225, that is the other parlay piece with the over 2.5 from the RDA fight. Simply
like
put, yeah, it pays out at minus 108, basically, so pretty close to even money. 100 will get you 92. And the reason I am taking that is because the last three wins each of these women have had have come by decision, either majority or unanimous. They have been finished. Both of them have been finished, and have been finished relatively recently. But they are roughly pretty durable, and neither of them are big finishers in their own right. Nunez in particular, I think is a worse finisher than Calvillo. I simply just don't think either woman can get the better of the other to an extent that they're going to get a finish. So I think this is just going to be a 15-minute kind of back-and-forth battle. I think both of them will have their moments. That's why I do sort of like a play on Nina Nunez at underdog odds, but I just can't quite. The number's just not good enough for me to pull the trigger on it. But like I said, I think it's a back-and-forth fight, pretty even scrap, and I think this just goes to the card, so I'm taking the over as a parlay piece.
Love it. I do think that is going to hit, so I'm cheering for you. Obviously, I'm sharing that other parlay piece with you in the main event.
And in general, you know, not to sound like some type of a person, but largely, if you're looking to bet over unders, finding the women fights on the card and women fights that don't have big finishers in them, like don't bet overs on Amanda Nunes, but Nina Nunes, bet them all the time. You're going to be a lot happier. You're going to be happier more often than not. So that's where I'm at. And that closes down my parlay. And means I only have one bet left on this whole card.
Perfect. Because I've only got two. So
love it. And I don't think we're on the same fights either. So that's spectacular.
I love it. We're not going to spend too much longer here. Let's keep it rolling. Next up, it is a bantamweight bout. Iman Zahabi going up against Ricky Tercios. I've got Ricky here. I just think that this is going to be a fight that plays out pretty much on the feet. I know Zahabi, he got the KO last time out, but he's not really someone that can rely on their knockout power. Maybe Tercios goes for a takedown, but I really do think that they're going to spend a majority of this fight on the feet, and he's got a 4-inch reach advantage. I think he's just going to put the pace on him like he does everybody else. I think he's just going to outstrike him across the three rounds, and he's just going to win a unanimous decision.
Sell me on it, because I'm not opposed to this bet. I'm not opposed to adding another one to the card. Sell me more heavily, because I like Tercios. I think I agree Tercios probably wins it. I'm not in love with this. What'd you get the number at? Because the number's minus 190 right now, and I'm not in love with that number.
I took a minus 160.
I'd be a lot more interested in minus 160.
Yeah, pretty decent line movement there. Yeah, it means Zahabi's got a negative 1.1 striking differential in the UFC. Like,
is that good? is that good?
Yeah, that's decent. Tercios, I mean, he just thoroughly outstrikes the two opponents he's had so far in the UFC, and I think that's what he's going to do again here. Like, I think he's just going to put the pace on him throughout the 15 minutes. He's got the motor to do it. I think he's just going to be up in his face the entire time. He's going to use that reach to avoid the power shot from Zahabi, and I think he gets it done, man. 29-28, 30-27, I think it's going to be a unanimous decision.
What are we looking at props here for this by decision or something? Let me pull up some prop lines and take a gander. Because I could believe that. It's not like Tercios is a huge finisher, realistically, and also Zahabi. I mean, he got back elbowed, but apparently Ricardo Ramos just back elbows everybody, so you can't blame him.
Yeah, that's like his thing. That's what he does. Like,
it's very, very
Zahabi by, or I mean, Tercios by decision is +145. +135, sorry.
Just because it might as well add some more. I'll add a little baby bet on that. I'll add a little quarter unit on Tercios by decision there. Just
let's go. Just a little quarter unit's never hurt nobody.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it doesn't hurt at all. And if it wins, then you feel alive because you at least won. So sure, why not? I'll do that, and then I can support you spiritually and monetarily with my wagers.
I love it. So let's go Tercios. War Tercios and
War Ricky, let's go.
Yeah, I like War Ricky much better, and let's land 140 significant strikes to like 86. All right, next up. It is a middleweight bout. Cody Brundage going up against Trayshawn Gore. Brundage, you can get him at +105. Trayshawn Gore, -125. I struggled with this one. I thought about playing Gore straight up, and then I said no. I don't know if I trust him that much. Let me see what I can get on the inside the distance. His inside the distance is at +275. It's actually not available at any books that I've been able to take it at yet, but I'm assuming it's going to come out at a number very similar to that. And I just feel like, you know, with how hard he hits, I don't think Cody Brundage is that great on the feet. His game plan is obviously going to be to come in here and wrestle. I think with the explosiveness, the power, the hips of Trayshawn Gore, it might not work out for Cody Brundage. I don't think he's going to be able to just dump him and lay on him for 5 minutes every single round. And I think if they get into a war on the feet, if Gore is pulling the trigger, that is probably my biggest concern here. You know, if he's not gun shy, I think he can land a shot and knock Brundage out. I haven't seen a line on the knockout price, but inside the distance is at +275. I actually am surprised Brundage inside the distance was only +200. I guess maybe they're expecting a submission or something. But yeah, at almost +300.
I assume that's it.
Yeah, at almost +300, I'll a little bit more than a quarter unit. I think I went like 0.35 on this one whenever it does come out.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch this fight with the 10-foot pole. I
that's why you're a smarter man than me.
There's just not... I don't have nearly enough to go on as far as Trayshawn Gore... exists as a fighter, and I mean, there's more footage of Cody Brundage, but true. I don't, just this one's just a hard stay away. I don't need to be involved in it, especially when I've got much, much more thrillingly fun fights up next. So
yes, you are a smarter man than me. I'm hoping to get a price similar to that, but still not out yet. So I actually haven't locked it in. If you want to talk me off the ledge real quick.
Oh, I want you to live your best life, because you could be right. I just do not feel I have anything close to a comfortable read on what and who Trayshawn Gore is as a fighter.
Yeah, I don't.
And so I'm just like, that's just too many variables that I don't know at all. So I'm like, yeah, just pass. I'll move on with my life and do other things.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, let's move on with our lives and do other things. Let's get into the last fight that we're going to talk about here. A light heavyweight bout. It is Kennedy Inchekwu going up against Carl Roberson. Right now, you can currently get Inchekwu at minus 125, Roberson at plus 105. The over-under is set at 2.5, under minus 125, over minus 105. What do we got here? Are you going to talk me into something good?
Well, I have one bet, and I want to have like three more. I haven't made the other three, but this is like, this is a fight I feel like the outcome is someone's getting knocked out in 7 minutes or less. Like that is just a thing that's going to happen.
I love that.
Because that's what, I mean, both of these men hit very hard. My bet, I guess, to start is I'm on Kennedy and Chukwu. I got him at minus 125. There's some concern. It's not like the world's best bet I've ever made, just because Carl Roberson is a more pedigreed kickboxer, but Kennedy hits real hard and is just enormous.
Enormous.
Absolutely unbelievable that he makes this makes light heavyweight division. He is 6'5" and he's a well-built young man. Let's put it that way. He's coming off a split decision where he got robbed against Nikolai Negamaranu. And then he got knocked out by Dion Jung. Like, that's a thing that can happen. And he's been tapped by Paul Craig, which is apparently a thing that happens to a lot of light heavyweights these days.
Everyone.
But I think it may just be the optics, because he's going to have such a pronounced size advantage over Carl Roberson, who is not a particularly large light heavyweight. And I think on the feet, I think he can just hit with power. I think he throws, honestly, a lot more. I also just like what I've seen from Inchekwu as a developmentally. I think he was working kicks a lot better. He's improving at a rate that I think is good and will benefit him. And so getting him at minus 125 feels low. Because I also think, if we're being honest, it's not been part of his game, the whole takedown thing. But when you have that big of a size advantage, trains at Fortis MMA, it's a good camp. They know that the best way to attack Carl Roberson is going to be. Carl Roberson offers almost nothing off his back, and he's not a great defender of takedowns. So I think Kennedy just has a lot of options in how he would like to proceed moving. I think he will, like I said, probably stand up, but he also can take it down. So I just like him to win. And like I said at the beginning, I want to make more bets on this fight, because I'm strongly considering a look at Inchekwu by KO or TKO. The under at 2.5. What's the line on that right now?
Under 2.5 is currently sitting at minus 125.
I'm almost certainly going to bet that, because I think that's, in fact, I'll just go ahead and lock that one in. But yeah, I might convince myself to take a prop run at Kennedy and Inchekwu, because I think this is a really good fight for him. I'm a little surprised the line is this close, frankly.
Yeah, what do we think of like a Inchekwu at inside the distance?
What's that line at?
+280.
+280.
I'm sorry, +235.
Yeah, I mean, that's honest. You know what? I'll put a quarter unit on that too. I'll just have all the bets on this fight.
Yeah, I think I might ride the inside the distance with you.
I mean, it feels like that's just going to happen. This whole fight gives me a lot of concerns, just because the odds don't match up in my head with, like, at all. Like, I don't know why the over on the under 2.5 rounds is so high. That's very confusing to me. Or so even, not like, I would have thought that number would be much more juice towards the under, but at -125, I'll take that. So yeah, I now have 3 bets on this one fight.
Wow.
Way to go. This is the textbook degeneracy. I came in here with 4 bets in a parlay. Now look at me. I've got so many bets down.
Yeah, I mean, Carl Roberson, all 5 losses he has been finished in.
I think, yeah, that's the other thing. The man does not go to decision all that much. And Kennedy's only has 3 wins by decision in his career. He got 6 knockout victories. So instead of an ITD, I'll probably just wait till a KO prop comes, because I don't think he's going to submit Roberson. So I'll just take whatever the extra juice is on the KO prop. But
Looking at KO by at +250.
Wait, what was ITD?
I think +235. Yes.
Oh, well, at that point, then I'll just take ITD if it's +235. Yeah. You're not getting any extra thing there, so I'll take
4 of Roberson's losses have been by submission.
Yeah, but I'll just take the ITD at +235 then. That number's functionally the same.
It is like guys to Marvin Vettori, Glover Teixeira.
Yeah, I mean, he has lost Brandon Allen. He's lost to good guys, but I think Kennedy has a chance to maybe not be that high quality. Also, Brandon Allen is middleweight, and Kennedy Njoku is super not a middleweight.
9-inch reach advantage.
Yeah, he's
9-inch reach advantage against a guy that does not want this fight to go to the ground.
Nope. Like, it's, yeah, I just think I'm very surprised he's -125, and the only reason I can assume is because Kennedy's coming off the 2 losses, even though one of them kind of a robbery, and just the kickboxing pedigree of Carl Roberson, who wasn't like a world-class kickboxer, but, you know, fought JLB, had some experience in that realm, just makes it feel a little closer than it probably is.
Maybe I'm thinking I might bail on Treshawn Gore inside the distance, because I haven't locked that in yet, and I might jump on Kennedy and Chekwu inside the distance.
Hey, look, I want you to do whatever feels right to you, but I would say that that's a much better idea. Personally, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. I love it. I hope no one stopped listening, because if you did, you missed that I bailed on Treshawn Gore inside the distance. That one I have not locked in yet. Well, now we're riding Kennedy.
That serves him right. You got to be here the whole way through, especially in this episode, which is going to be our shortest episode ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sub hour. We might even get I don't think we'll get sub 50 minutes.
We will not, but we'll be sub an hour by comfortably.
That is it, though.
Because that's it.
That's everything.
We've accomplished all the things we needed to accomplish.
If we did not talk about a fight that you were clamoring to hear from, I'm sorry. That just means neither of us have a bet on it. I couldn't give you any advice, even if you wanted that advice from me, which I don't think you do. But
my advice is to stay away from Antonina Shevchenko bouts, because she is impossibly difficult to predict betting on. That's why I stay against her. She seems to lose every time she's supposed to win, and vice versa.
Yeah. Now I'm getting a weird idea in my head to parlay in Chekwu inside the distance with Treshawn Gore.
Oh, do that. Just live the fun life.
I might
parlay underdogs. Do the dumb thing.
I might do the dumb thing and just like really hope for some crazy things. Let's see what that would pay out. That would pay out at
juicy.
+1156.
Love it.
Yeah, that's stupid, but I might not even throw a full quarter unit on it. I might just throw a 0.1 unit on it.
For sure, don't throw a quarter unit on it at that point. Just throw a couple bucks.
Let's get silly.
Find a way to make things up, you know, make things better. That's what gambling's about. It makes otherwise fight cards fun.
Kennedy's the curtain jerker, no?
No, I think there's...
Ronnie Lawrence. Which that's actually a great fight.
A very solid fight.
Thought about Saidi Cub as an underdog. Couldn't get around to pulling the trigger. I'm too scared of Lawrence.
I feel very much the same.
Like he chain wrestles. Like he's got a motor. That chin is questionable, though. That's why I'm not playing him.
Yep.
I just had to stay away from it. Fantastic fight, though. Fantastic fight. Yeah, but those are back-to-back. So Kennedy 2 and then Trayshawn 3. So, yeah, we'll find out early in the night how we're feeling. Yeah,
you get to have the... And look, if you hit the Kennedy and you start having regrets, you can always buy out. Once you've hit the bet, you can buy out easily. It's great.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But all right, that is UFC Apex 58. We talked for 50 minutes about this card on a hangover from UFC 276 combined with July 4th.
I would say that's a double hangover, big hangover.
Combined with PFL 6, Kayla Harrison. We did it all. We made it through it. I can promise you this. The energy is going to be ratcheted up next week. We've got UFC Long Island. I will have boots on the ground in the island. I will be in Long Island. I find myself more of an in Long Island guy. A lot of people up here on Long Island. A very heated argument.
What about at? Could you just be at Long Island?
A new opponent has entered the ring here.
I've entered the argument with at now.
Yeah, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. So what I do is I ask people, I'm like, are you an in Long Island or on Long Island guy? And whatever they say, I'm like, oh, I'm actually the opposite. Like if they're like, oh, no, it's in Long Island.
Bring the tension.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm like, oh, in Long Island? I'm more of an on Long Island guy myself. But most people say on Long Island, and then I'm just like, I'm more of an in Long Island guy.
Look, friction makes fire, baby. That's how you do it. Just make sure to just do the opposite of whatever people are doing.
Yeah, and people are passionate them about for it. Too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very passionate.
They get angry about in on Long Island. It's, I was on a Long Island Reddit page. And there was like a whole discussion. And like someone said they said in Long Island and they got torched. Like they got torched. It was bad. Man. So anyway, that's my long
I
way
you
of
just
telling
ask
you.
Ask a bunch of people. Just people sitting around you in the stands. Hey, is you in Long Island or are you on the island right now? What are we doing here?
I can't even lie. I thought about creating a custom shirt that just said it's in Long Island just to make people mad or just in Long Island, something like that. But do
on Long Island on the back so you're making everyone mad. They just don't until you turn around and then they're like, oh, this guy.
Yeah, I'm more of an in Long Island guy. That's what I wanted printed on the shirt. But instead, I created a different custom shirt. I cooked up something nice. That'll be hitting my social medias. You'll see it on the MMAR next week. Really looking forward to that card. First UFC event ever for me. We'll have more bets next week. We'll feel more passionate about them. Huge summer. Huge year. Huge 2022 overall.
Hitting the UFC. PFL's coming to NY in like a month or whatever.
I'm going to go to that because I also went to an LFA show earlier this year. So I will have gone to LFA, PFL, Bellator, UFC.
I haven't been to a Bellator yet. So I've been to LFA, a PFL, UFCs, but I did go to a WEC, which you physically can't go to anymore.
Wow.
So
wow.
I get to carry that one around. Yeah. But man, that's big time. You're going to have hit the big four North American orgs.
Yeah, I am truly an MMA fan now. Soon enough, Ryzen, ONE Championship, KSW, trip over to Poland.
KSW is the first thing I'm doing. Like that is as soon as I can convince somebody to send my ass there for fighting, KSW, baby.
I'm just waiting for Eagle FC to come up here to New York so I can check that off the bucket list as well.
Oh, Eagle FC now is in the mix too. Apparently BKFC has really good events.
I'd be down to go.
Probably gonna do that soon.
That sport is it's an aggressive sport. It gets violent.
It is. And next summer, you, me, No Bets Barred, International Fight Week, baby, let's go.
International Fight Week. I will be there in Vegas.
I will be there in Vegas.
We got a long time to plan for that. Hopefully,
we can do so many things, so many activities, so much room
for
activities.
Right now, though, we're focused on UFC Apex 58. That's true. We're really focused.
Let's run the bets down and get the hell out of here.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. We haven't even run the bets down.
We've got to run them down.
I'm convinced we're going to get out of here before an hour, so I'm going to do this quickly. My bets. I parlayed Saeed Nurmagomedov with the main event, Fazeev Dos Anjos, over 2.5. That pays out at -118. I jumped in on RDA at +170 with our man Jed here. I got Cal Baralho. Yeah. Ow! Little Wolfpack Bulldog bet, whatever you want to call it. I got Jared Vandera by sub at plus 550. I got Malarkey Johnson under 2.5 at minus 150. I've got Ricky Tercios at minus 160. And we've just added the dumbest parlay in history on the show. Trayshawn Gore inside the distance with Kennedy and Chekwu inside the distance. That pays out at plus 1156. I am going lighter on these ridiculous bets, but I feel decent about like my real ones. So we'll see.
I went light on most of my bets in general just because I don't feel great about this card. But yeah, I have RDA at plus 170, the Wolfpack wager, the underdog bulldog bet. I've got Baraglio inside the distance, plus 130. I have Chase Sherman at plus 155. Kennedy Inchekwu at minus 125. I also have the under on the Inchekwu-Roberson fight at minus 125. And I've got Inchekwu inside the distance at plus 235. I also took flyers on Chase Sherman by decision and followed the Tercios by decision. And then my parlay, the Battle of the Rafaels over 2.5 rounds, parlayed with Cynthia Calvillo and Nina Nunes over 2.5 rounds, pays out at minus 108. And that's it, baby. It's a wrap.
It is a wrap. That's a wrap for UFC Apex 58. We will see you next week, UFC Long Island. Brian Ortega, Yair Rodriguez.
Hello.
Talk to you then.
Love you guys.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.